Hey guys, y'all doing all right? Yeah. Awesome, it's great to be with you. Man, I don't know about you, but I love my church because that was awesome choir. Thank y'all, that was great. Man, every Sunday. You know, I say this in staff meeting regularly, I hate that I have to follow them all the time. I'm like, you know, you guys, you know, somebody were teasing, and it was like, man, if you can't preach a sermon after that, then you've got a problem. And it's not so much that, it's like they're just so good, you know? And it's like, God, I don't want to blow it. So, you know, it's awesome to get to be here with you and sing with you, even when I can't sing, because, you know, when you grow up and there's no trees and you move to a place where there are trees and it has something, it's this thing called allergies that, I mean, it is what it is. We're fine. I'm just complaining. I'm sorry. Again, it's good to be with you this morning. So over the last couple of weeks, you know, we've been talking about expectations, right? 2 weeks ago, we asked the question, what happens when, you know, life just doesn't turn out the way you hoped it would, right? Maybe the God that you know and love, the Jesus that you've said yes to, I'm going to follow him. Maybe your life is just not, it's just not what you thought it was going to be. Maybe it's, you know, maybe retirement hasn't turned out the way you thought it would. Maybe you know, you've wanted to be married, or you haven't had kids, or, I mean, we could talk through all kinds of different scenarios as we have. So much of life, we end up in this place, and it's like, gosh, how did I get here? You know, and then last week on Easter Sunday, which was an incredible Sunday, if you weren't here, man, we missed you. It was a great, great Sunday morning, great worship. Both services were fantastic. It's a great, great, great time. We talked about you know, what do we do when Jesus exceeds our expectations? I mean, what, you know, so often I think what we bring to the table and what we expect of him is kind of like the disciples. You know, if you were here last week, you would know what I'm talking about. They had this idea, right, that Jesus came to this earth and he was going to, you know, put an end to the Roman Empire, that they were going to be right there, right next to him as they see him wield a sword and, you know, usher in, you know, come in on a white horse as this knight in shining armor and just put an end to the Roman Empire. And so they built up all these expectations thinking this is the moment that we've all been waiting for, right? And then all of a sudden those expectations lead them to a dark night where the people that they thought, well, man, he's going to overthrow, end up taking him into custody. They put him on trial. They watch him beaten, whipped, humiliated, put in a grave, you know, and then all of a sudden he shows up alive. Jesus is alive. And they realize that their expectations of Jesus were not too big, but they were too small. And I think so often, you know, if we're honest, right, our expectations of Jesus, while certainly right and good of what we want him to do for our lives, are far too small. When we think Jesus is defeating the Roman Empire, he's actually defeating sin and death. And man, wow. Our expectations so often are far too small. So today I want to talk about, so what are Jesus's expectations of us? Right? If we've kind of been talking about our expectations of him, well, what about for us? What does Jesus expect of us? And here's the deal. It's really simple. It's really simple. You ready for this? Yep. This is great. It's two things. Two things. You know, I don't know about you, but I can be guilty of picking up this Bible, which, man, I love the Bible, and I read this thing. I get up early in the morning. I read it every morning. There's a lot in here, right? Can we agree to that? There's a lot in here. There's a lot of do's and a lot of don'ts, right? Sometimes in Christianity, we can be known far more for what we don't believe in or what we don't do than what we do. And, you know, it can be overwhelming, right? So I can read this thing and think, golly, how am I going to live this out? It's hard. Christianity's hard. But what you're going to find this morning, and I pray that this is going to alleviate you of some burden, is that Jesus has two expectations of you. It's very simple. That you would love him, and that you would love people. That's pretty much it. Honestly, I could stop there and it would be enough. Right? The expectations that God has of you are that you would love him and that you would love people. In fact, I kind of put it like this. God's expectation is that we are always progressing toward a love for God, love for the people he has created. And here's the thing. This is great too. It's not about perfection. It's about progress. And Lord knows I need it, because some of you people are difficult. Just so you know, I'm incredibly difficult. Ask my wife. But right, people, man, we all have different personalities. We all have different gifts, you know, and people are difficult. And yet, here it is that God has created them. And I know I can be guilty of loving people in the way that I think they should be. You with me? When God says, no, I want you to love them the way I've created them. And I want you to see people the way that I see people, which I don't see them as they are. I see them as who they're becoming. Right? And so that's the invitation this morning that I want you to hear from me as the pastor. I want you to hear that God's expectation of you is not all the do's and all the don'ts. It's that you would love him and that you would love people, the people that he has created. In fact, Jesus is going to say this very directly in Matthew 22. If you've got a Bible, meet me there. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. If you've grown up in church, then you probably have this bad boy memorized. And you could probably preach this sermon better than I can, and you probably are more qualified to preach it than I am. But here we are, and we're stuck with each other. So Matthew 22, verse 34. Here's what the text says. When the Pharisees had heard that he, speaking of Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, who was a lawyer, asked him a great question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And here's Jesus' response. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And then notice this, he says, and the second is like it. Notice that Jesus adds to his question, which I think is humorous. He says, the second one is like it. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And here are the last statement. This is really important. On these two commandments depend all of the law and the prophets. Now you need to keep in mind what's happened here, right? We're in the last week of Jesus' life. So Jesus has already made everybody mad. Right? He's made the religious leaders, Pharisees and Sadducees, they are done with this guy named Jesus. He's causing a ruckus. It's Passover week. He's a problem. We got to get rid of the problem. And so there's a lot of drama surrounding this particular week. And so the Sadducees and the Pharisees keep trying to test Jesus, right? They're trying to get rid of him. Lord willing, maybe we can even get him killed. But the funny thing about it is they're not in control. Because there's never a moment in Jesus' life or in your life where he is not fully in control of everything that's going on in your world. Same thing here. Jesus is in full control the entire week. And so they can't touch him. And so they keep sending their best guy forward, right? Next guy up. And they can't seem to stump him. They can't seem to test him. They can't seem to do anything. Can't gain him any ground. So they gather together and they think, you know what? Let's get a lawyer. Let's get an attorney. But this is not a lawyer like you and I might think a lawyer. This is an expert in religious law, right? So not constitutional law. We're not talking about constitutional law. We're talking about religious law. And they said, let's put him before Jesus and let's have him question him. And so he asks a great question. He says, okay, Jesus, out of all of the law, which one is the greatest? Now here's what he's asking him. By the way, do you know that there are 613 laws in the capital L law, the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. Did you know that there's 613 laws? So what he's asking Jesus, hey, Jesus, out of all 613 of these bad boys, I mean, really, let's be honest, which one do I really have to follow? He's saying, hey, what are God's expectations of us? Is it really to follow all 613, or what's the greatest? And here's Jesus' response. It's twofold. Jesus' response is simple. That you would love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and that you would love the people that I have created as you have loved yourself. And Jesus says all of the law, entirety of the scriptures, all depend on those two things. So yes, while there's a ton of commandments in here, there's a ton of do's and don'ts and everything in between in the Bible. At the end of the day, what God requires of you as a believer in Christ is that you would love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you would love people as yourself. But also, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ and you're in this room, I'm so glad you're here. Can't wait to tell you this. That is also the one who created you. That's his expectation of you as well. But hear me, you cannot live up to the expectation that he has for you apart from him. Apart from confessing him as Lord and Savior of your life, receiving the Spirit, his Spirit into your life, you will not be able to do this. Now, you'll be able to do good things. As a matter of fact, I bet you do a lot of good things. But there is a sense in which God demands more of you that is not outward obedience, but an inward obedience of the heart. And so what he's talking about here is full submission to him as your God, in love with him, in friendship with him. And you cannot do that apart from him. Right now, you are apart from the one who created you. That's why Jesus came. That's what we talked about last week. Jesus came to this earth to give his life for you so that you might enter in a relationship with him, receive his Spirit, and you would get to live with him for all of eternity. And it's his Spirit that lives within us that empowers us to live up to his expectations. Apart from that, it will be a crushing weight over your life. Also, Christian, if you're in the room, if you are trying to do these things, live up to God's expectations on your own, it will be a crushing weight. It will be a crushing weight. God expects that you were live up to his expectations, but he gives you his Spirit so that you can do that. It's this awesome, incredible thing that God grants you and he grants me as his children, as his people. Okay? So two commands. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love people as yourself. Let's talk about the first one. Okay, so the heart. Jesus says, we're going to love the Lord with all of our heart. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, here's what it means. The heart is the hub or the kind of the centerpiece of your life, right? It's the hub of the will. It's the hub of the will. The heart is the motivator of our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. And so what God is saying here when he says, I want you to love me with all your heart, I want to be foremost in your words, your thoughts, and your deeds. Like I want you to love me with all your heart, the very core of who you are, your very identity as a person. I want you to love me. I want you to love me. The second one, I want you to love me with all your soul. The soul represents your emotional activity. It's the center of your desires and affections. So what God's saying is that I want your affections to be foremost for me. Man, I want you to be madly in love with me. I'm crazy about you. I want you to be crazy about me. I want your affections to explode. I want you to get those tingles when you think about me. Right? So that first time that you set your eyes on that young lady across the room and it was like, she's the one. Man, you know what I'm talking about. It's that tingle. Oh my gosh. He wants to get in your affections. He wants to get in your emotions, right? That you would love him with all of your heart, with all of your affection, with all of your emotion. He wants you to love him with your soul. At the same time, he also wants you to love him with your mind. It's the intellectual capacity of your body and the way that God has created you. By the way, he's created these things so that you would love him with these things, right? So often in Christian circles, we can dog on emotional stuff because, well, quite frankly, we're scared of what that might look like or what that would do. But God has given you emotions. He's given you that emotional faculty in your life. He desires that. He wants you to love him with it. But he also wants you to love him with your mind, with your intellect. Right? I love the way that this kind of plays out, right? God wants to be foremost in what you put into your mind, what we read, what we watch, and what we fill our imaginations with. He wants to be foremost in that. One great theologian who's far smarter than I am, he said it this way, and I think it's helpful. He says, there's no compartmentalization of the human psyche, but rather wholehearted devotion to God with every aspect of one's being, from whatever angle one chooses to consider it, emotionally, volitionally, or cognitively. This is the kind of love for God that will result in obedience to all that he has commanded. See, I think the reason why God says my expectation of you is that you would love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that you would love people as yourself, it's because, man, when we love the Lord, when we're in love with him, obedience to him changes. It's no longer burdensome. It's no longer weighty. It just becomes natural to who we are because, man, I want to please my Father who I love, right? I mean, if I walk in the door and I say, Lane, Drew, hey, I want your rooms cleaned up right now and I'm yelling and I'm screaming at their mom and I'm just an angry old dad, do you think they're going to want to do what I ask? But man, when I walk in the door and I'm fired up, I could have a tough day. Walk in the door, man, I run in there, give them a big old bear hug and say, hey buddy, I love you so much, I missed you. You know what? When I ask him to go clean his room, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. And in the same way, man, when he loves me, man, it's, oh gosh, it does something for my heart. All right, when Lane, Drew, they crawl up on my lap and, you know, want to spend time with me, dude, it wouldn't matter what's going on in the world, and I'm a happy man. Your Heavenly Father is the same way when you love him. Isn't that great? You have a Heavenly Father who wants to hear from you, who wants to be your friend, who wants to enjoy you and wants you to enjoy him back. He's not an angry God up there demanding begrudging submission and white-knuckled discipline. Sure, there's a place for all of those things. There's a place for discipline. But the Lord loves you, and he wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend of friends. He wants your affections, your emotions, your heart, your soul, and all your mind. He wants all, every bit of you, every bit of you. Here's the second expectation. We got to love others as ourselves. We got to love others as ourselves. When I think about this, I think, golly, that's hard. That's really hard. And thankfully, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus helps us with the golden rule. I remember the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple, isn't it? But it's incredibly difficult to do. It's incredibly difficult to do because so oftentimes, right, we want to love people the way we want them to be, instead of the way that they are. And yet God says, no, I want you to love people as they are, as difficult as they are, because I love you as difficult as you are. And he knows all of it. He knows every bit of it. He knows you're complaining. He knows what gets you excited. He knows what makes you sad. He knows what makes you depressed. He knows every bit of your difficulty. And yet he still loves you. So much so that he gave his son to this earth to purchase you back. You know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think, I'm really difficult. I can be really annoying. I can be very demanding. And I have high expectations for myself and for others. I'm hard to live with. And yet God gave his son Jesus for me. So then, hear me. So then how in the world, if God so loved me that he gave his one and only son to purchase me back, how in the world can I not love people? Even the difficult ones. See, the more I understand the gospel and the more that I apply it to my life and I remember it on a regular day-to-day basis, boy, the more that it just draws out my love and affection for the Lord. And the more that I love the Lord, it's amazing how that kind of spills over into everyday life. The more that I love my wife, the more that I love my kids, and the more that I love you, and the more that I'm willing to listen instead of speak first, you know? It's amazing what happens there when we fully love the Lord and we give our heart over to him. You know, there's another thing that I've kind of noticed about this is that oftentimes I think we can make, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love people as yourself. And I think that's right and good, right? Again, the more that I love the Lord, the more that I'm likely to love people. But notice that Jesus says, he says, notice that the second one is like the first. He doesn't say it's second tier to the first. He says it's like it. It's similar. Which, quite frankly, I think that means that they work in tandem. As a matter of fact, I have a couple of things that I want to share with you. I think there's a couple of warnings when it comes to Jesus' expectations. And the first one is this, that God's expectations of us work in tandem. They're not two separate things, right? They're not mutually exclusive. They work together. The more that I love the Lord, the more that I love people. And the more that I love people, man, the more it leads me to love the one who created them. Right? It's like an artist, right? I typically don't fall in love with an artist. I listen to their music and I like what they listen to. And the more that I listen to their music, the more that I end up liking the artist, right? The more that I spend time with you and the more that I see God's unique creativity in your life and the way that he's gifted you and gifted other people, man, it stirs my heart for more of the Lord. I mean, there's many of you. I got a note this morning, y'all, from one of you who I love very much, and I wish I could name names, but you know, it's not publicly correct to do that. But she wrote me this note and just said how thankful she was for me. And I thought of this woman and I thought, man, you make me want to love the Lord more because you took time to do that. People help me love the Lord. You know, I'll never forget, you know, I thought I knew what love was until May 27, 2017, our little baby boy was born. And maybe you can remember this, but man, as soon as I took Lane into my arms and we had a unique situation where I got Lane for an hour by myself before Jordan was able to get to see him, which was terrifying, by the way. I even apologized to him. Because I'm like, they just hand me the bed and I'm like, you want me to just hold him? Is that what I do? And so I'm like looking into his big blue eyes and he's looking into mine and I'm crying, he's crying. And it's like, dude, I promise you, I'm gonna give my best shot. But man, in that moment, man, my whole heart exploded with a kind of love that I had never felt before. My kids have taught me the love of the Lord more than anything else that I can think of. You know, when I'm frustrated and they come in and I'm frustrated because of, you know, who knows what. Again, I'm difficult. And the Lord is so kind to quickly go, hey, Logan, you know what? I could be frustrated with you right now, but I'm not. I love you, and I'm kind, and I'm gracious, and I'm not yelling at you. I'm not frustrated with you, and it's them who's teaching me to love the Lord, and the same, that's the beauty of community. That's why you need the church. So many people say that I can follow Jesus without the church. Well, you know, good luck. Good luck, because God has created you to be in this room this morning, to be inspired by what you heard, to sit under the teaching of God's word as he uses the word to sharpen you and transform you. You need fellowship. You need people to say, hey, I see this in you. Hey, you need to get rid of that. You need to do more of this. I'm here for you. When you're in the hospital, you need people to come love on you. And as that happens, it teaches you to love the Lord. These things work in tandem. They work in tandem. Number two, God's expectations is not that we neglect one for the other, right? So it's, again, it's not hierarchy with love God and then love people. It's not a hierarchy, but, right? Like, we don't want to do one and not the other. I mean, that's what the Pharisees were guilty of, right? They were so busy, right, trying to love the Lord by knowing the law and executing the law that their hearts were far from the Lord. And what did Jesus say to them? Get away from me, you whitewashed tombs. Kind of crazy language there, Jesus. Easy. But that's the nature of it, right? We can get so busy trying to follow the law that we forget to love the people that God has created us to love. Right? There's this story, one of the guys I was reading this week, he said, you know, there's this story of a monk. This monk had committed his life to the Lord. He locked himself away in his home. He said, I'm going to devote my life to the study of God's word, to prayer, and to fasting. And that's what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to pursue the Lord. I'm going to do all that I can to love him with all my heart, soul, and mind. I'm going to give my life to that. Well, one cold winter night, so winter storm happens, and there's this young man who broke down. His car broke down not far from this man's house. For whatever reason, he felt led in this winter storm to go knock on this monk's doors. He knocks on the door. The monk answers the door. He opens it up, and the young man's standing there. He's freezing. He's fearful that he wouldn't make it through the night because he doesn't have a heater in his car. It's a winter storm, below freezing. And so he asked the monk, he said, would you allow me to come in and just warm by the fire? Maybe get something to eat until I can get some help. And here's what the monk said. He said, you know, I hear what you're saying. It is cold. It's cold out there. He said, but you know, the God that I love will be faithful to see you through the night. Close the door on that poor young man. And I think, golly, how often are Christians guilty of that? How often am I guilty of that? It's the same story of the Good Samaritan. You know, how often am I so busy doing for the Lord that I forget to truly do what he's called me to do in the moment that he's called me to do it? Right? God's called us not to love the easy ones, not to love people when it's convenient, but even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's difficult. That's what makes you and I different. And by the way, that's what our world right now is desperately in need of. True love. Yeah, that's good. Man, I need to remember that. Huh. You know, it's funny. I get to preach to you, but I have to preach to myself all the time. And I have to believe it, and I have to trust it, and I try to live it, you know? It's hard. It's good. It's good for us. So again, in life, we can be so busy loving God, we forget to love God's people. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says this, and this is good, right? This is what he says. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Say, I love God, but I don't love my brother, then he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he can see, cannot love God who he has not seen. And this is the commandment that we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Our love for others will reveal the truth about our love for the Lord. Man, our love for others ought to lead you back to your healthy relationship with the Lord. Okay, here's the third one. God's expectation is spirit-empowered or inspired, spirit-inspired. You know, I think, gosh, when you start talking about expectations, right? I'm a person of expectations. My biggest weakness is having misplaced expectations, right? I have such high expectations for myself. I have expectations for everybody around me. It drives me nuts. Because I can never measure up to my own expectations. And what I know about expectations is that they can either be a crushing weight or they can offer clarity and freedom. So they can be a crushing weight over here on one end of, man, how am I ever going to meet? How am I ever going to measure up? But at the same time, man, when you know expectations, right? When husband and wife sit down with one another and say, hey, I just want you to know, here's my expectations of this. Man, you know the husband, that look that your husband gives you when he's like, you clearly know he's not following what you're saying, but you're still expecting it of him? It helps, ladies. If you just say, hey, here's my expectations of you, they will know what to do. We need all the help we can get. So they can be a crushing weight, or they can bring tons of clarity and liberty and freedom, right? And Jesus giving us these expectations really does that. It brings clarity and freedom to, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to focus on, right? But as I mentioned before, if you're a Christian in the room and you attempt to follow these things apart from being spirit-inspired and filled with the Spirit, man, I'm telling you, it can be really miserable. Because, man, you want that white-knuckle discipline, Lord, I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to be miserable as I love people. You know, I've spent so much of my life trying to do that, of working so hard to meet God's expectations that I'm miserable and I make everybody else miserable around me. And that's not what he's asking of us. He's asking of us of delight, delighting in him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Love him. Pursue him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Believer, Christian, in the room, you have the Spirit, so you don't have to do it on your own, but you can do it in and through him. And when you need help, ask him, and he will be glad to step in and help you love people. And by the way, when you pray that prayer, I promise you, he's going to bring some difficult people your way that day. And he's going to teach you. How do you love people? And he's going to remind you. He's going to be quick to remind you. If you're walking in the Spirit, he's going to be quick to remind you. He's going to let you know, hey, just as I've loved you, so too do you love them. And again, if you're not a believer and you're in this room, again, I'm so thankful that you're here. There's no better place for you to be. Man, this, God is demanding. When we say expectation, he is expecting to have your heart. The good book says that there's a day coming where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. That Jesus is Lord. He wants all of you. He doesn't want the half-hearted version of you. He wants all of your heart because he's created it. And he wants you back. He wants you back bad. And he wants to love you. You need to know that he's crazy about you and that he wants you. He wants friendship with you. He wants to enjoy you as his son and his daughter. And so, hear me. This morning, maybe the application for you is that you need to believe in him. Recognize that you're a sinner, separated, eternally separated from him. He created you to love him and be in a relationship with him, but because of your sin, you've been eternally separated from him. But he sent his son Jesus to this earth to give his life for you, to pay the price for your sin. That's the whole point of the cross. He dies on a cross. The Father looks away from him so that he can look toward you, offer you forgiveness for your sin, and offer you an invitation to enjoy him in relationship for all of eternity, to have his spirit in you so that the world, this weight, the weight of the world would not crush you, but that you would be free and that you would have the hope that one day all sad things are gonna be made untrue. There'll be no more sin, there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more shame, there'll be no more guilt. We will live eternally happy with our Father who created us in heaven. And while you're here on this earth, he will give you his spirit to help you live up to the expectations that he has given for you. Man, there's no greater news than that. We call it the good news because it's good news. And we call it the good news because it never stops being good news. If you're a Christian in the room, that story, that true story, it never stops becoming good. And it's always good. And it's always applied to our lives. Every single moment of every day, we can be guilty as Christians of, man, let's get them saved. But the gospel is so much more than get them saved. It's, you know, certainly not less than that, but it is so much more than that as we learn the depth of my wickedness that I still live in and the fact that Christ gave his life for me. Every single day, he is forgiving me of my past, present, and future sin fully, freely, and forever, for all of eternity. And so I walk every single day in an identity in him, in his righteousness, not in my own failures. I'm not defined by my past. I'm defined by his perfect righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Right? And so my life is not begrudging submission to the Lord's commands, but they're free, they're light, they're not burdensome. Oh, man, did you know that God didn't give you all these commands to make you miserable? He gave them to you so that you would be free, that you would experience life as he's intended you to experience it. Oh, man, that is so great. So good, and yet so many people who sit on Sunday mornings are so miserable. You know why? Because you forgot the gospel. Easter's not just for lost people, it's for us. Resurrection's not just for lost people, it's for every moment of every single day that Jesus is resurrecting me to a new life. So that I would love him and that I would love people. And that's why he says that all of the law, all of the book hangs on those two things. You get that right? He's gonna work out the rest in your life. He's gonna work out the rest in your life. Oh, man, that's gotta love what 1 John 5:1-3. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ and has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this that we know the love, back up, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And hear this, and his commandments are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. If they are, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it in your flesh instead of in the spirit. Because, man, when you're living in the spirit, boy, they're not burdensome. That, honestly, that's how I know if I'm walking in the flesh versus walking in the spirit. If all of a sudden I'm following the Lord and I'm just miserable to be around, I'm like, man, I must be doing this wrong. I must be in my flesh. I must not be in the spirit. And so I need to recognize where I have fallen. I need to, Lord, I'm agreeing with you. I'm confessing. I see it too. I'm a miserable person. And man, I need you. I need you, Lord. So I confess, I repent, I go back to him. And the word says that he is faithful to forgive you and to restore you. And he restores me every single time, no matter how far I've fallen and no matter how grouchy I am. matter how much I complain, well, he's so good to forgive me and to welcome me home and to restore my joy and to remind me that his commandments are not burdensome, but they're light and they're joyful. And the more I follow him, the more joy I have. Did you know the happiest you will ever be is when you are in line with him and his will for you? That's the happiest your heart will ever be, because that's where your heart was created to be, is to be joyfully in love with him, delighting yourself in him. Oh, so good. Okay, application. All right, if you're a believer in the room, and man, you're on fire for the Lord, you're with me. Hey, keep going. Keep doing it. Walk with the Lord. Walk in the Spirit, right? Continue to put yourself around people to love them and let them teach you how to love the Lord, right? Keep studying the Word. Allow the Word to speak to you. It's alive and active. It does not fail you. It always accomplishes that which it purposes, even at 5 a.m. when you're half asleep. God will do something. He'll show up. He'll do something. He'll cultivate a love for the Lord in your life. To the new believer, if you're wondering, where in the world do I start with all this? Well, I'll tell you what. Put yourself in a place to learn and grow. By the way, you made it. You're here. Be here. Prioritize this. Right? Don't buy the lie that it's about 50% of the time. Man, you need this. I need this. I need it every week, not just a couple of weeks. I need it every doggone week. You do too. We need it. We're created for it. Be here. Join a Sunday school class. Man, we got great Sunday school classes. They'll love you. They'll care for you, right? Man, join that. We got small groups. Man, join a small group, right? Pick up the Bible. Doesn't matter where you start. Start in Genesis. Start in Genesis. Just read the Bible. Read a chapter a day. That's what I do. I read a chapter a day. I don't read four chapters a day. I know. I'm not going to make it through the whole Bible in a year. It's okay. God's expectations of me are to love him and love people. Start with a chapter a week and let the Lord do something in your life, okay? Awesome. Okay, to the person in the room who might think, golly, man, I'm a little bit more like the Pharisee than I am, than I'd like to admit. I've spent more time studying the Word and loving the Word that I don't love people. Well, I need you to understand and hear me very clearly. A checklist is not going to do it. It's not going to do it. You need the Spirit. And to be honest, I think you need to go deal with the Lord. I think you need to go, and I think you need to confess that, Lord, I've been so busy loving you that my heart is far from you. I've been so busy trying to obey you that, if I'm honest, my heart's not with you. And you know what's awesome? Psalm 51, I pray it often. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. This is David. Create in me a clean heart. Ask him. And he'll create in you a clean heart that'll love him and help you love people. Okay? Can I pray for you? Lord, we need prayer. And boy, we need you. Boy, I need you so bad when it comes to these two expectations. There are only two expectations, but I think they might be the hardest. And so, Lord, we just ask for your help. We need you. We need you so desperately. So, Father, would you just come and would you incline our hearts to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And God, that we would love people as ourselves. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the service. Thank you for our time to worship together and be with one another, to remind each other of our love for you each and every week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.